welcome to our country. Manawaska, an Indian name meaning land of the porcupine, is in a festive mood. Through this pageant, let the past be revived in our memories. Centennial bells of Manawaska, ring out your joy to the whole world.
Asylum from persecution in the United States.
threaten again, the Acadians once more left their farm in search of security from more persecution. It was at this time, June 1785, that a small group made their way up the St. John River, taking with them bare necessities. They traveled until they set foot on the south bank of the St. John River, approximately 2.5 miles south of Maliseet Village, a short distance from the present St. David Church. While setting up camp, Joseph Daigle, leader of the group, erected a crude cross in thanksgiving for their safe arrival to their promised land. Thank you. settlers from both the United States and Great Britain. The first Americans to arrive from the Kennebec Valley were the Baker brothers, Nathan and John. Upon the death of Nathan, John married his widow, Sophie Rice Baker, and continued the lumbering enterprise in the Bakerbrook area. His talents and activities soon made him spokesman for the American Republic of Madawaska. He became involved in one political tumult after another. After the British government seized his lumber in 1827, he retaliated by inviting all his friends to a 4th of July celebration to sign a declaration of fidelity to the American Republic. The stars and stripes were hoisted in the midst of cheers and approval. Marshal George Morehouse of New Brunswick, upon hearing the news, paid a visit to the Baker residence, inquiring about the flag, to which Mr. Baker replied, "This is the American flag. Have you never seen it? In that case, you examine it at your leisure." The infuriated marshal ordered the flag to be taken down. But John Baker replied, "Never. We will never do such a thing. We put it there, and there it will remain. Our United States government will see to it. We are on American soil." The British guards took down the flag and brought it to Frederick. Mrs. Baker, being as stubborn as her husband, went to St. Basil to buy more cloth and made another flag and had it up in no time. John was taken to Frederick for trial and was put into jail for 3 months. Once more, the American flag was taken down by the British. And once more, Mrs. Baker, the good American, took over and had the flag of independence again fluttering in the breeze. The bounty controversy increased. Both governments began plans for war. Fort Kent and Fort Fairfield were constructed. The national government in Washington finally intervened, and the Webster-Ashburton Treaty of 1842 settled the boundary dispute by making the St. John River international boundary, with the South Bank American and the North Bank British, also terminating the bloodless heroistic war. Ironically, Mr. Baker never did leave the Canadian soil, nor become a naturalized Canadian citizen. Several years after his death, the state of Maine had his remains transferred to Fort Vancouver as an honor to one of the heroes. Thank you. 1865, invading us. The survival of a colony was assured by the pattern of marriage and birth. The young lady who could not leave had a slim chance of meeting a well-to-do young man. A young man who had not lived 10 acres of farmland was a poor risk for a husband. When the day of the engagement arrived, if the fraternity had no dwelling place, the father just had to let out the news of an approaching wedding. And in no time at all, a frolic was organized to build a new house for the future couple. Here we are, at the Veille de Noces of François and Severin. Let us join the group and share the bonfire. Thank you. must look like a peculiar architecture to a passerby. Eventually, all that remained of the original site was a rustic cross to mark a spot which even to this day is called God's Acre. Chamberlain on February 24, 1869. William Dickey, Justice of the Peace, was authorized to call a first term meeting. This historic meeting was held at the home of Jean-Baptiste Fournier in St. David. Simon Bonnier was chosen as moderator. Olivier Sedouin was elected town clerk as well as the first selectman. Michel Seguin was second selectman. Hippolyte Seguin was third selectman and treasurer. Rémy Seguin and Romain Seguin and Isaïe Martin were voted defense viewers. Firmin Seguin was first tax collector. Olivier Sedouin, Hermel Sedouin, and Michel Seguin had the honor of being first to serve in the superintending committee. The sum of $1,000 in labor was voted for making and repairing roads and bridges, $250 for the support of schools, and $75 to defray town officers, books, and other miscellaneous expenses. Having been of great service to the community, these first officials of the town, and the many that followed, including the present ones, deserve our sincere thanks for directing our local government so judiciously. Scene 9, the General Store. In the early 1900s, the news that the Van Gorn and Rooster Railroad was going to build an extension from Van Gorn to St. Francis has just reached the area. This is good news for the inhabitants of Madawaska. Not only will they have an outlet for their products, but they will also have means of transportation connecting the St. John Valley with the rest of the world. The year is now 1920. A fisherman brings in the latest news at the ferry service between Madawaska and the busy soul is about to be terminated. By the end of the year, 1921, the international bridge joining Madawaska and Edmonton is going to be built. The future success and progress of Madawaska was secured in 1925. The Fraser Paper Company Limited built a mill in the community and has since contributed largely to the growing economy of Madawaska and surrounding towns. Fraser Paper Limited, a progressive and community conscious enterprise, continues providing financial stability to the community. It is instrumental in providing employment to hundreds of people and turning Madawaska into a center of commercial activity. Scenes of yesterday and today. The first real step toward educating the youth of the Madawaska Territory was a traveling teacher and missionary. The first recorded teachers were Pierre Dubé, Thomas Costain, and Antoine Juliet. In 1831, a crude, unattractive building resembling a shed on the land of Simon Hébert served as a first schoolhouse. At the time of the incorporation of our town, there were only 7 schoolhouses in the whole Madawaska settlement, which included all the towns between Van Buren and St. Francis. Most of them were quite small and poorly constructed. All grades were contained in one room. Facilities were limited. The role of the teacher was vital. If a pupil received punishment at school, he could expect the same when he got home. closed during the winter months due to poor conditions of the buildings, which were only fit to use in the warm months of the year. Attendance was poor, especially among the boys who were kept home.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.